This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hi, thanks for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and today our special guests are Craig Hill and Aaron Norris. And we're going to talk about the changes in our loan program. Craig, I met you so many years ago, but you, it's interesting how it transitioned. When I went talk to you, I didn't know if there was a lender that would do what I wanted, and you didn't have any clients at the time were what I wanted you to do.
Exactly. When we first met, which, geez, is probably close to 25 years ago now, hard money was basically all situational.
And all occupied owner most of the
time. Yeah, most of it occupied, or somebody had a unique situation or something like that. It really wasn't investor driven. So when we met, it was really almost a new concept to the industry, because nobody really came to us with a concept like you did, just kind of reviewing the first couple deals we talked about. We're dealing with two houses in Moreno Valley. Just for simplicity, we're worth a little less than 100, but we'll say 100 for just purpose of the conversation. So typically what lenders would do is lend somebody that might be in trouble financially, in foreclosure, whatever the case may be, first, second, sometimes even thirds, although at the time our company wasn't doing that, and they'd go up to like 70%. So that'd be $70,000 total liens against the property in that case.
Right.
So you came to me with two scenarios where, once again, just kind of making the numbers easy, I think you paid about, was it, what, $40,000?
I paid about 40% for the
properties.
Yeah,
so you paid about $40,000 for the properties and had a pretty simple request. You know, you just wanted to borrow the $40,000.
Well, actually, what happened, you went back to the owner because you weren't sure what the policy was going to be.
Oh, right.
And you came to me and said, you loan me 65%.
Right.
And I said, well, are you comfortable with that being more than I paid for? And then you went, oh.
Right.
Because that was like
right.
a whole
yeah.
kind of new whole.
Exactly. New so
world.
It was just a whole new concept. And it was actually... It was actually harder to convince investors at that time
to put up money for
the
trustee.
To put up money for a trustee to you at a lesser amount than they'd lend to somebody that had never made payments. So here's somebody with a lot of history, a lot of cash, a lot of all you'd want to see in a borrower, and the concept to them was foreign because there was kind of this unwritten rule: it's worth what you pay for it.
Well, it's also that if you live in it, somehow you're going to pay better.
Right.
Even though the only person in the world that would get that loan and repetitively got the loan, because you told me one of the things that happened is they would refi.
Oh, yeah. That was back in those days, that was very common for somebody to, whether it be inherit a house, have a spouse die and get insurance payoff to pay, you know, pay off the mortgage. And they might start out with a 300 grand house that had no mortgage on it whatsoever, and they'd come to you, they'd want an $80,000 first. Usually, unfortunately, it was to solve somebody else's problem, not the homeowner's.
Right.
That's probably the thing that maybe bothered me most initially about the business was you could just see the situations, and you know me well enough to know that I never let it go, you know, without telling the owner of the house, hey, this person you're doing this loan for is never going to pay you back.
Yeah.
You know, much to the chagrin of the person that was the benefactor sitting right next to them in that case.
Yeah.
But once again, I saw it over and over again. They'd take out an 80 grand first, then they'd come back a year and a half later, and they'd want to take out a 40 grand second.
And then somebody would say, why don't we just make it a new first,
yeah,
et cetera, and go, yeah.
Yeah, so ultimately, you know, we kind of tried to only do something, you know, twice, because it's like after that point, no matter what the equity situation is, I don't really feel like you're helping the homeowner in that case.
What was interesting about the beginning is I sensed the unease of dealing with somebody with repetitive loans.
Right.
And so I made six payments on the first two loans in advance. And I remember... you basically talked to the owner and he was just like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was something that was easy to kind of build going forward once you got through the initial concept that just because two houses next to each other in Moreno Valley that are exactly the same are worth exactly the same amount.
That's right.
That was the biggest. That was the biggest concept really to overcome. And once you overcome that, came that, it was kind of like common sense. Okay, so now we know that the security is identical. Okay, so now you have these two other scenarios. Which person would you like to lend to?
Multiple times.
Yeah.
Like a business owner, you're the business lender. Well, I mean, the reason I brought this up is that hard money really exploded the ability for investors to buy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it really did. I think it kind of, you know, there's kind of a new wave, you know, the last 5 years or so have really changed. But, you know, going back to the history of it, I mean, there was such a common bond between those two. You know, now, I mean, when people say hard money, I would say the majority of them, especially anybody with the real estate background or investor type at all, I mean, they almost see hard money as synonymous with investor.
Right.
And it just wasn't that way when we met. It was completely the opposite. It was almost unheard of.
And
you know,
I think what's happened is people in the investing world has finally woken up and understood that the investor, not the speculator, the investor is a very reliable payer.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, obviously the difference there, an investor is going to, in any market, I feel, that's kind of the whole 22 years we've known each other. I think it's always, at least initially, you're always kind of wondering like, okay, well, where's maybe the next loans, you know, in this type of market, in that type of market. We kind of grew through that together, not only with the timing, but with like seeing how the clients evolve.
Yeah. Well, that was sort of the education that we developed with the quadrants, is that every time
exactly.
You were in a change quadrant, you had a different skill set and had to do different stuff.
Exactly. And what we learned over time is like investors versus speculators,
yeah.
They are able to buy in every market and make it make sense.
Yeah.
And that's why the relationship is so good. And that's why I'm so happy we've kind of kept our tradition of being exactly like we were. I mean, we still deal very one-on-one, not only with investors that are borrowers, if you will, or the buyers of the properties, but we still have that same one-on-one connection with the money side, the investors that put up the money. And in this market, it really is unique that, you know, we're still, say, functioning this way, but I feel like it gives us such an advantage because we kind of have all the pieces of the puzzle. And, you know, somebody that just is a Wall Street type, or, you know, not using that in a negative sense, but they're not going to have our knowledge of the entire business that
yeah.
We've developed over, you know, 22 years of the Norris Group, plus, you know, learned a lot the 2 years we were working together before there even was a Norris Group. So you just have a lot of history there and a lot of information.
Yeah. Aaron, you've come up with the term. Norris Group's been around for Main Street for a long time. That's really true. I mean, it's really been a progression of investors having access to more money and then being able to expand their business. And
well, it's funny, you talk to a lot of other hard money lenders too. They think we're a little bit nuts still by doing the whole note investing. And
right.
I think either we attract the control freaks or it might go back the other way. I think people want to have a little bit more control and insight, and in this kind of market, they're a little bit uncomfortable writing a check into a blind pool and hoping that the decisions being made are good.
The scariest thing about, you know, anybody that has a pool is you're really dependent on the honor of their process and their intention. And it can be great, and it could be not great.
Yeah.
Or it could be they don't know what they need to know. Sometimes there's a transition coming. And whatever they've been doing for 6 years has been perfectly safe. So let's say you made hard money loans at $3 million specs. Okay, well, that works okay until it doesn't.
Yeah.
Or land. Or, you know, you can pick product types that hurt really bad, where, you know, that's some of those areas we've avoided completely. We don't do industrial loans and things like that because we don't understand the product and don't really know if there was a problem, how we would successfully exit it. So we have stuck with a pretty boring product line because we understand it. And so does everybody that puts up money. They understand a single family or a two or a four unit, and that's what we do.
Well, they also know you do a heck of a lot of nerdiness when it comes to the research of the market. So the timing report, when I first started in 05, I started coming to work for you to working on the California crash. It's sort of hard to do a lot of crazy lending when the CEO writes a report called the California crash, and then you just released On Borrowed Time. So,
but since you brought that up, what happened is, and this is what, you know, have been some concern that we've had recently, is if you have even a mild slowdown and you're returning money to investors. So we write a California crash and basically tell people you're going to be getting your money back for a while. Well, I think the thought between, Craig talking to them was they probably would set it on the sideline and be cautious. And what happened was they mistakenly thought all trust deeds were created equal,
right,
and put money in trust deeds that sometimes lost half of the principal. And you just go, oh my gosh, you know? And so I'm proud that we've always put our investors before our checks. You know, we always have been more careful about their money than anything that we, you know, that's how our decision process is, and it's great.
Well, I think that does set us apart. So some of the systems technology we have in place is because we have a time horizon with clients that could be more than 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, Craig has some investors that have been with him for that long. So when you're dealing with this now, as we're going with people into Florida, we've seen them through their very first cycle. They've become millionaires, and now we're helping them diversify and upgrade. And it's a really fun process to see. But I mean, hopefully in the next 10 years, they'll become lenders with us long term, mm-hmm. and we'll be around for 20 years. So we're not just a broker. We're with, you know, these clients for a long time. So it's a good thing it's handled that way.
Yeah, I think we're making some transition, and we're going to do some investing in Florida, and we're going to have some people join us, things like that. You know, that's all been vetted with my money, your money. We're there with our own money going, okay, this made perfect sense. So drinking the Kool-Aid. In talking to investors, you know, just talk with a gentleman, and he's got a bunch of properties that were suggested in Ohio. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, my first question, well, how old are these properties? You know, they're 50 years old,
right,
in a terrible area.
They're historic.
Yeah, and he can't wait to 1031 exchange to something that's new. Well, that suggestion of buying that property probably wasn't very altruistic. It was commission-based, and that's what's bad.
Right.
So that's why I'm really proud of what we do. You know, we really try to think very carefully about the benefits for everybody, and that's I'm glad we have that brand.
Yeah,
right.
Well, you know, what's interesting is the transition of costs, because when I first started borrowing, it was 5 points, 12.5, and I didn't bat an eye because I had access to dough. And it wasn't too long after that, I think it went to 3.5 points.
Right.
And when interest rates declined, we gradually declined with that. And then I don't know what year we did, but about 2%, 2 points were around, I don't know what year that was, but
I think
made that
was
change.
Around 2013, I think.
Yeah, because in 2009, people thought we were nuts when we rolled out the 8-year 9.9% program. At the time, nobody had a serious hard money loan product under 10%.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, a few years later, we did 5 years because of the timing research.
Right.
And then now that same program is 6.9% for 3 years. So right. It's just changed as the market has shifted.
And the cost.
Yep.
I mean, yeah. The cost went down to 2 points. And now, you know, what we're going to discuss is some of the things that we'll have available for seasoned investors that, you know, it became a competitive marketplace. And so, you know, you just always have to look and react and say, okay, you know, what should we do to maintain our client base and make sure that we're competitive? So let's talk about some of the programs. And we'll talk, Aaron, I'm going to ask you about Florida, and then Craig, I'll ask you about the California
Absolutely,
one.
Yes.
So on a flip program in California, there's a couple of options, I think.
Yeah, so basically what we've done is on our flip programs, we've changed it. If you take out a loan where you put some money down based on the purchase price and you do your own repairs, the interest rate on that is 8.9%. And then we've went down to 1 point on that one for experienced investors.
Okay.
And if you're looking to do something where a little less down, more on the ARV where we're holding repairs, we're now riding that at 9.9% and 1 point. So the cost is very competitive. And what we had discussed earlier, we're competitive, we feel, with all the companies that with the money, but we don't feel that anybody is as competitive with us as far as the background and the knowledge. So we're real excited to be able to mix those two and offer that to experienced clients.
Yeah, I think what's great about our team, because I remember how, I don't know how many times you've come out of your office saying, well, blew another loan, but made a client for life. In other words, They were about to make a mistake, and I'll hear you talk to them going, I could do the loan, but I don't understand why you're buying it.
Yeah, and you have to have that in mind. And just a scenario that we just talked about recently, which I found so amusing when you told it to me, about a client that was trying to procure a piece of land, and the price just went down and down, and finally the offer was like, say, $5,000 or something. Mm-hmm. And they had said, the broker said, well, you know, that's just not going to work with the seller. And then it turns out that it did work with the seller, as long as the guy was willing to pay the broker a full commission
on the other
price. So I think that kind of sums up. I'm not saying that's everybody, but I feel we never are looking at what we're making or what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And to me, that was just such a clear-cut case of, you know, who has your best interest in mind.
Right.
And I think now with the new rates, and the knowledge that we bring to everybody, it's just a good combination.
Yeah, and it also extends beyond, you know, when we do with appraisers and stuff. You know, we get feedback that will tell us sometimes, you just don't want to make this loan.
Right.
And you know what? As a buyer, somebody experienced telling me, I would walk away from a deposit if I had to not make a mistake that I took a 6-month journey on and was going to lose money.
Right.
That makes no sense.
Right. I mean, once again, I try to tell people, okay, like if you do this deal, the agents are going to make money. The guy that's going to fix up your house is going to make money.
Yeah.
We're gonna be able to put together a loan that's safe for us, and we're gonna make money. But it's like, you're the one taking all the risk, and what are you gonna make out of it?
The classic comment was, you kind of challenged an agent with that scenario, and she came out, but she basically said, "Well, we're practicing on this one."
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, exactly.
And she wasn't going to tell their client. She was okay with letting them go through this class by themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
you're not going to cash your commission check, I think.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of always my response. Well, then why don't you hold that until
we can hold that for extra repairs?
Yeah, you can split it equally at least.
Ooh, that's a good idea for a realtor if they want to get serious about it.
There you go. What designates experience? So we're going to have that.
Yeah, we're looking at somebody that, say, you know, 3 deals in the last year.
Okay.
You know, I think that's pretty fair. So if somebody calls us, a lot of times you can just sense that somebody has some experience, but somebody that's done 3 deals in the last year, not necessarily with us, but then, you know, just have them give us an example of the deals, and we're happy to put them in that program, because, you know, we're looking to, you know, help as many new people as we can also. And once again, not to be discouraging to new people, because a lot of times companies won't deal with new people.
Right.
And we absolutely will still work with people that are, you know, first-time people, because some of our biggest clients were first-time people in the last 10 years and have become mega, mega successful. And I don't think, from a new client perspective, there could be a better place to start than with us. So,
and just the added bonus too, when people do a loan with us, they have access to our TNG Academy, which has over 60 hours of education, where we cover everything from accessory dwelling units to, you know, mobile home park investing, to our economic newsletters and discounts investors use. That, I mean, it's just really valuable. So I think people, new investors, really appreciate that, and they can call and ask questions, and we're not just a lending company.
That's right. No other lender can bring that about. And the timing aspect of it too.
I do a lot of the one-on-one calls, and it's great. I took a phone call yesterday from somebody who's semi-experienced, and his background happened to be in senior care, his wife, and they want to get into it full time. So for the first time, I got to have a very cool conversation about some strategies specific to their where they were financially, where they were as far as personality and skill set. And I think it's just an easier way to get into the business when you are leveraging what you already know and the talents that you already possess, instead of getting overwhelmed with all the different strategies. So that's something people can do with us that I know a lot of other lenders won't do.
One of the people I just met, and he asked a question. One of his questions was, do we know, you know, anything about ADUs? I said, ding.
I do.
I said, yes. Aaron does. He went through a lot of study, and we put it in part of a course we taught. It's online, so
yep,
yeah, that's a big help. Quickly, the rental program that
we still have the rental program, which probably is about still our most popular. Yep. It's a 3-year loan, as Aaron had mentioned earlier. 6.9% interest only for 3 years, prepay for the first year only. So, you know, at the end of 1 year, if you want to refinance or you have other options with it, and then that one's still the 2 points, though, because we found that to be very competitive. And, you know, once again, looking at it, access to the money for the 3 years, the 2 points is we feel very, very fair on that one.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of bait and switch going on in the market too.
Yeah.
So a lot of lenders will promise a teaser rate and then at the very last minute be like, oh, you didn't have an 8 at the end of your credit score and your social security doesn't end with a 2. So it's actually, we're only funding 15% of your
deal. That's really irritating, because if you did that to a consumer in an owner-occupied
loan, illegal.
You're completely illegal. But it's okay to do that to investors?
Technically, no, it's not.
Right. But I mean, you put them right to the brink of closing and go, oh, I'm sorry, your interest rate's 3 points, worse than we promised.
Well, you have to understand, too, a lot of these Wall Street lenders and other hard money lenders, number one, they really need deals. The entire lending community is struggling right now. But you've also got inexperienced people who really don't know. Newer brokers that haven't been real estate investors or haven't been in the industry for very long. So you're just dealing with a lot of inexperience.
Yeah, but the people at the top have that formula saying, let's suck them in, let's pretend they got the rates. That's just very irritating. But, you know, hopefully the investor community will rewards them with no more business.
I hope so.
And talks a little bit about it, because that's how it ends.
Yep. It's very frustrating.
So Florida, what do we have for Florida people that are going to do?
It basically carries over pretty neatly. The new construction is the same for both California and Florida. The flip program is exactly the same, and you get the discount and experience. The difference is that because it's a judicial foreclosure state, the ARVs and the LTVs are adjusted a little bit lower.
Okay.
We're dealing with slightly different things, like you're going to have wind riders on properties. Some of the insurance will change, but it carries over well. The only big difference is our hold program. It's 5 years with a 2-year prepay out there, because they're in a very different market, which is also something very unique to us. We're tailoring our program's terms directly to the market, which is, I think, pretty smart.
Yeah, and we're pretty confident that the Florida market has really no downside coming, so that's a nice position to be in.
And a lot of people who are moving from California are going there with holding in mind long term. So it's 2 points for the hold and the new construction for both states. When it comes to the lower point for the experienced people, it's in the flip program.
Okay.
Right. And the rate on Florida for the long term is?
Oh, sorry. 8.9%. Thank you. Interest only for 5 years with a 2-year prepay. Thank you.
Okay. Now, construction is probably going to be one of our biggest things going on in Florida. So what are the rates and points on that?
It's a 1-year program, no prepay, and it's a 10.9% interest only. California is heavily regulated, and since we're our company is here, we're regulating Florida just as heavily, just for consistency for the two different kind of audits that we do. So we use funds control. We just happen to really enjoy BuildZig. We've been using them a long time, and that protects everybody, the lender as well as the borrower, against the builder. Some people don't think that. They're like, oh, another cost. We're like,
Well, you really, you know, it's interesting. We had a $60,000 issue when I was building the Leesburg houses, and I really wasn't protecting myself against the builder as much as I was the builder having the protection against his subs. And that's, you know, that's what happens is let's say you've dealt with a sub for 10 years and you kind of relax and say, okay, well, they're going to take care of me and they're going to pay their bill. Well, 60 grand of concrete didn't get paid. And that was quite a surprise to Alex, but it became a lien on a house, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why you have that built. Plus you've got great rates on it. So it's not really very expensive now.
Yeah. It's come a long way. So it's very reasonable and it protects everyone involved. The lender conversation is very easy. They want to know whether it's the new construction or a very expensive ARV program where you're holding back repairs. We're not just writing a check to the borrower like, hope you do a good job with the repairs.
Yeah.
You know, we want to see it further down the line before releases happen. So at the end of the project, it's actually all done. Same with the new construction. The builder doesn't have the funds. But as a borrower, all the funds are locked up. You know you're going to be able to get through that project.
Right.
So you get people complaining every once in a while, like, I only want 50 grand at a time, and I only want to buy RO 50. You're all, well, it's real cute until that lender decides, yeah, I got money to go elsewhere. It's no longer there for the rest of your project. So it really does protect everybody.
Yeah. when we have our boot camp, one of the things that we'll be nailing the process of is the 1031 exchange combination with a construction loan.
Oh yeah, I learned that the hard way. If my lender did not come through, and they almost did not, I would have messed up a very cool 1031 exchange for myself, because I was going from one rental in California to three brand new homes in Florida. The 1031 exchange, they were amazing. That was really easy. Exeter was awesome. It was the lender who really dragged the ball to where if they would have failed and couldn't lend, I would have lost it all.
Well, you would have lost the purchase and had to pay tax on the sale.
And it was big, so.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Hard money is going to be way easier. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you both for helping the Norris Group have the reputation that it does. It's awesome.
Oh, thank you guys. Okay. Yes.
The Norris Group originates and services loans in California and Florida under California DRE License 01219911, Florida Mortgage Lender License 1577, and NMLS License 1623669. For more information on hard money lending, go to thenorrisgroup.com and click the Hard Money tab.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.